You're with SBS Radio.
Olá, boa tarde, pessoal. Good afternoon, everyone. Here is the Portuguese Language Program SBS Radio. We're starting a Facebook Live with Tim Harcourt. Let's introduce the airport economist.
Bom dia. Good to be with you. Hello, everyone.
Bom dia. This is your Portuguese, Tim.
That's great. Parabéns, Solano.
Parabéns. Obrigado.
Obrigado. Sam. Pelé. Socrates. Yeah.
Okay.
Garincia.
Good. Tim Harcourt, the airport economist, academic at the University of New South Wales. Economy. You were the Australian
Chief Economist. I was.
A while ago now,
seasonally adjusted. I'm now an academic at the university and I fly all over the world.
Tim, you have an episode on Brazil coming up tonight in Australia.
7 o'clock tonight on your money is The Airport Economist Goes to Brazil. We're doing 6 episodes on Latin America, and it just so happens that you called me when Brazil episode is on tonight, based in Rio de Janeiro. So we're very excited.
So what we'll see in there, what is the episode is bringing?
Well, basically, I'm going to give my viewers a bit of an update on the Brazilian economy and Brazilian politics, and I'm going to interview a number of Australian companies that are doing very well in Brazil, including Chumu Adventures, that does adventure travel in Brazil. Gecko Systems, a little company from Ballarat that does basically metals technology, that's done very well in Brazil. And then I talk to a few hotel managers and LATAM airlines about the best things you can do in Rio de Janeiro. And that's the best part of the show.
Yeah, you are an economist, of course. And what is your regard about the Brazilian economy at the moment and the President Bolsonaro?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, when I first went to Brazil, Beatriz, I went to Porto Alegre, your hometown, and I met Lula when he was a union leader. And it was at the beginning of his term. And each time I go back to Brazil, things change. You know, Lula was very popular and then not so popular. And then a bit of a switch left to right. But what's interesting about Brazil, it's still got incredible resources. It's got incredible agriculture. It's got incredible renewable energy. It's got a huge aviation sector. So it's still got the scale that you need in South America, you know, to be a major global player. And that's not going to change no matter who the president is.
I just remember that, for example, Bolsonaro announced that he was changing the embassy of Brazil from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And
yes.
Soon after he came back because of the economic relationships that Brazil has very strong with Arab countries, and the backlash was quite strong. It was a bit of confusion on these foreign relations, no, at the start of the Bolsonaro government.
Well, ultimately, all countries want to have good economic relations with Israel, because when you look at technology, when you look at the incredible startup community, you know, Israel is a superpower. So all countries that want to modernise and want to be part of the digital economy have to have relations with Israel. So, you know, economically, it's a good idea.
You think the new president, Jair Bolsonaro, will make a difference?
I wonder about that. I mean, there is a rise, not just in Brazil, there's a rise of economic populism around the world, of left and right. And I think I don't like them calling him a tropical Trump, because I think in many ways Brazil's got its own political system. I mean, Brazil is a major player in the world economy. And so to compare everything with Trump, I think is wrong. I think Brazil has its own traditions and its own politics. And, you know, populism does have, you know, some resonance in Brazil on the left and on the right. So I think it's better to see it in Brazilian terms, not comparing to the United States.
And being an academic at the University of New South Wales, how you feel that the president, Jair Bolsonaro, is being perceived in Australia, in the political circles?
Well, it's interesting. We have a wonderful collection of Brazilian students at University of New South Wales. They're
the
excellent students.
The largest number in Australia.
Oh, they're fantastic. And in the MBA class, what I like about Brazilian students is that they're very intellectual and clever, but they're vocal. And in an MBA class, you actually want people to be great communicators. And Brazilians are great communicators. A lot of the other students from other countries are a little bit more introvert. So I like having more Brazilians in my class.
But the question is about how the President Bolsonaro is being perceived in Australia.
Well, still, I think people see everything through Trump and Brexit eyes, so they aren't looking at Brazil itself. I think on some issues, there's probably some concern. On other issues, there was a bit of disappointment because, you know, when I first went to Porto Alegre, the PT was in power. There was a lot of hope. There was Bolsa Família. There was the size of Argentina, you know, basically the middle class in Brazil was added to. A lot of people were pulled out of poverty. So there was a lot of hope in Brazil. And so it's a bit of a shame that things ended up the way they did. But on the other hand, I mean, Brazilians are saying we're rooting out corruption and we have put senior politicians in prison, and we have done the same with businessmen after the Petrobras, you know, the car wash scandal. So I think Brazilians are very keen to ensure that their institutions are democratic and are clean in the future.
What's the state of the Australia-Brazil economic relationships at the moment?
Well, we could do more. The two great southern lands, as we wrote in our book for the Lowy Institute. I think we have great collaboration, particularly in the services to mining sector with Gecko Systems. CSIRO and Embrapa do a lot of work together now because I think we've got that great agricultural sector. I interviewed Nufarm on my show because the Nufarm, the agricultural company, is very successful in Brazil. And then I think in the great growth of the Brazilian consumer class means that tourism like Chimu Adventures have done very well. And education, you know, I do a lot of work with the Federal University in Rio de Janeiro. So we're doing a lot more economic collaboration in terms of our publications. So we can always do more with Brazil, the other great southern land. And in many ways, I think, because we've traditionally been far away, you know, Australia looked to London and, you know, Brazil looked to Lisbon. I think
long ago, then looked to the US, yeah.
and that's starting to change. And I think people are seeing Brazil and they're seeing South America as an important market in its own right, not just part of the American hemisphere. So that's an important change for Australia, not just with Brazil, but with Pacific Alliance, with Chile and Peru and Colombia and Mexico as well. So I think we're starting to see South America in a different light, which is well overdue.
You've been in Brazil in October last year at the time of the elections.
Yeah, I go to Brazil every year, usually twice a year since 2002.
Wow.
So I get a good feeling.
So how many times have you been to Brazil?
Twice a year. Yeah, twice or once a year since 2002. So a long time. So first time 2002.
But you did not beat Johnny Warren. You remember?
Johnny went a lot. Johnny had some
28 times. He went to Brazil.
He had extra reasons for going to Brazil that I don't have. But he had some interesting relationships with Brazil.
But 28 times is quite impressive, no? But you are not far from that.
Oh, he's a great hero of mine, Johnny Warren, and also Les Murray. Les and I did a lot of work together on the World Cup in South Africa in 2010. So Les was a great fan of Brazil. So I want to do a lot.
Also married to a Brazilian, like Johnny Warren.
I want to, in the memory of Johnny Warren and Les Murray, I am very dedicated to Brazil. In fact, Les and I did a talk in South Africa for the World Cup, and we said, who would have thought you've got two Hungarians called Harcourt and Murray on the same show? But that's Australia for you.
Oh.
Yeah, my name was originally Harkovitz, and my grandfather wanted to get into the Bondi Club, the surf club, the Icebergs, and he couldn't because he was Jewish, so he changed it to Harcourt. So he said he went from the Goldbergs to the Icebergs. And it's great. I mean, it's great that SBS has allowed everyone to keep their name. But a lot of people like me, we had an original name when we came to this country, but we've become Harcourt. So we're originally Harkovitz.
Okay, good to know. Why your interest in Brazil to start with? How it start the first?
When I was a little boy, my dad was an economics professor in Adelaide and in Cambridge in England, and his best PhD students were from Brazil and Hungary. And myself, when I went to the United States to graduate school in Minnesota and Harvard, all the best students were Brazilians in economics, in the PhD area. And so I've always grown up with Brazilians around me. And since I've been in Australia, you know, in particularly in Sydney, I've got all my friends here from Brazil and Christina Talaco and Claudia Jajura, the Brazilian-Australian community is very active, very enthusiastic, very brilliant. And I guess they've helped educate me as well as doing a Johnny Warren and going over there myself.
And we have one listener, one viewer, Giuseppe Rosa. Hi, Giuseppe. He's asking, hi, Tim. What do you think Australian Brazilians usually tend to vote for, Labor or Liberal?
I would say that most South Americans have been Labor voters traditionally, particularly the Chileans and Argentines, because they were fleeing the dictatorship. So generally, traditionally, and when I worked for the ACTU, most of the South Americans made very good trade union leaders, very good shop stewards. So most of Brazilians and Argentines and Chileans I've met have tended to be Labor voters, not all, but that tends to be the tendency, in the same way that most people who come to Australia initially tend to be Labor voters. So that's been the way I've way I've seen it. But perhaps as they get more established, they might vote coalition.
But that, the moment we have liberal conservative governments in both countries, no?
Well, we do at the moment, do we? For two more weeks before the election, we'll find out on May the 18th whether we have a conservative or Labor government federally in Australia.
Federal elections. What is your take on the next elections?
Well, I think with the federal election, it's going to be close to the extent in the campaign, but I think a lot of people made their minds up before the campaign started, and you've seen a lot of pre-poll votes. I do think that Scott Morrison has liked campaigning. He likes kicking a soccer ball. He likes playing ping pong and doing barefoot bowls. But I do think Bill Shorten has put up a lot of policy, particularly on climate change, that is concerning to Brazilians and Australians, and equity, and you know, young people trying to get a house and get good health and education. So I think Labor has put up a lot of policy, which is unusual. Usually in opposition, you hide it all and you just wait till you get in. But they have put up a lot of policy, which is risky. But on the other hand, they've got a lot to talk about in terms of the narrative. But it's wonderful that we can vote and, you know, there's never a military coup. There's never a change in Australian democracy. We either vote Labor or we vote Liberal or another party, and the government can change without a bullet, without any problem at all.
It's a very healthy electoral campaign we have in Australia, no? Witnessing here, I was in Brazil in August, September, just before the elections in Brazil, and following the campaign there and following the campaign here, make you feel good to see a campaign like the one in Australia, no?
It can get a little bit nasty on social media. We've seen that, and a lot of candidates had to withdraw. I'm quite shocked by some of the things that people say. There was a lot of anti-Semitic comment up in Darwin from a Labor candidate, which wasn't very pleasant. But yeah, for the most part, I think you're right. I've got to say, though, like Brazilians around the world are very successful, you know, in architecture, in academia, in business. And so,
mining.
Yeah, everywhere. So Brazilians have talent. And so it'd be great to see that talent that you see in individual Brazilians, particularly here in Australia, put into the political system back home in Brazil. And then Brazil can have a, you know, flourishing democracy as well.
Tim Harcourt, the airport economist, academic at the University of New South Wales. Thank you very much for your time and disposition coming here on Sunday to talk to us.
Obrigado, Beatrice.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.